community this time. Because this time we are really, if you notice, it's called Women's Equip, not like Women's Ministry or Women's whatever. We're just a bunch of women going to be equipped to follow Jesus better. And so that's kind of our goal for these next 5 weeks, is to figure out how to do that. And so we wanted to give you lots of cheerleaders while we figure that out. So the women at your table, those are your cheerleaders, because as women, we don't compete against each other, right? We cheer for each other. And so that's what your tables are. We wanted to put as many around each table as you could, so you could get to know more women in the church, and you have more people praying for you, more people cheering you on, more people on your team as you kind of start this journey of how do we read our Bible? How do we jump into Scripture deeper than maybe what you currently are? So when you walked in this room, there's 70 people registered, right? Which, by the way, you're welcome for your extra 15 minutes if you've ever been. You know, February is kind of dreary, so we'll give you an extra 15 minutes. But what it does mean, we're going to be packed, like, right? We're going to, like, start on time, we're going to end on time, because we only have an hour together. So we're going to kind of fast through this. I totally went on a tangent. That's why I don't remember where I was before I started that tangent. Okay. So we'll just go right on purpose here. So the purpose of these 5 weeks is to just help you kind of jump into God's word in a lot of different ways. So some of you, when you walked in here, you have a habit of already reading God's word. And so what I want to challenge you to do over these next 5 weeks is to open your mind and your heart to, like, God can show you something new, because he is alive and active, and he is not be able to be encompassed by our mind, right? For the rest of your life, you'll be learning something new about him through his word. And so I want to challenge you to not come in with any thoughts like you already have this. You're the mentor, right? Although I do want you to be a cheerleader. Some of you might have come in here this morning and you've actually never even owned a Bible or opened a Bible on your own before, other than in a Bible study. And I want to say, I am so excited you're here. You've got at least 8 other cheerleaders that are like, hey, we're going to help you on this journey. Because this is the cool thing about God, where regardless of where you are in your spiritual life or in your relationship with him, he is for you. He is cheering you on, and he just wants progression from you. He just wants you to keep taking steps towards him. He doesn't want perfection. And so don't talk in this idea that there's a perfect way to do this and that we're trying to reach perfection. Right now, this next 5 weeks, is that me? Aaron? Just kidding. So if you've done the early morning one before, you know all technical problems happen before 7 a.m. when no technical people are awake. So we're after progression. So wherever you're at today, kind of evaluate yourself. And in 5 weeks from now, you kind of want to be a little bit farther along with God. And so here's some of the ways that we want to do that and equip to help you figure out how do you know and follow Jesus. One of the first ways we want to do that is through scripture memory. And you guys, I don't actually have a bookmark. I'm going to steal yours real quick. You guys, actually, if you flip over on the book on your table, you'll see the words memory verses on there. Because as a group, we're going to memorize Matthew 5, 3 through 12, which is called the Beatitudes. And they're all listed right there. So next week when you come, you're going to have Matthew 5, 3 through 5 memorized. All right? Now, some of you are like, I haven't memorized since, like, your English teacher made you memorize Shakespeare or something. Anybody else, English teacher in high school, make them do that? Like, memorize some, or some dead language, something like Beowulf or something like that? That's okay. So here's the thing with memorization. I want you to think memorization / meditation. So if you've never memorized before, or if that's intimidating to you, I want you to think about meditating on Matthew 5, 3 through 5 or 3 through 6, 3 through 5 for this next week. And I want you to read it over and over again, because when you walk in next week, the first thing you're going to do is sit at these tables, and you're going to go around the circle, and each one of you is going to say Matthew 5, 3 through 5 out loud to your table. So if you have it memorized, you're going to close your book or turn over your bookmark, and you're going to say it to your table, and your table's going to cheer you on. If you don't have it memorized, you're going to read it to your table, because the more we can memorize or meditate or have scripture going through our mind, there's this really cool thing that happens, that deeper meaning starts to happen from it. And I don't know how it works. It's not a magic trick, but the Holy Spirit is alive in his word, and as you meditate on it more and more, you start to get some deeper meanings. And so we're memorizing what's called the Beatitudes, and sometimes they're confusing. Like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. And you're like, what the heck is this supposed to be talking about? But these are actually Jesus' words. And the very first thing he ever taught his followers were these words that you're going to memorize. And so I think for us to memorize it. And so think memorization / meditation. We want you to have it in the forefront of your mind. So even if you're next week, and so here's the temptation next week. You're gonna come 10 minutes late, so you miss it if you didn't memorize it. Please don't do that. Because remember, we are for you. We want to cheer you on. And so even if you don't have it, your table just wants you to read it out loud, because the more that we can hear it, the more that it has chance to create some deeper meaning, the more that the Holy Spirit will give understanding of Jesus' words. And this was the very first thing that he taught his disciples, so it's important for us to know it too. So that's what you'll start the first 10 minutes of scripture memory when you come in. And then after that, you're going to have a discussion over what you're going to do at your table. I don't have any props up here. So you're going to go home and you're going to go through what's called the road. And if you've been at Keystone, you probably heard Brent talking about this from stage. And we kind of went through it a little bit as a church. You jumped on there, but everybody's going to get one of these journals. And when you come back, you're going to start with scripture memory, and then you're going to jump into discussion over what you read that week. And if you look in your journals, it's all nice and pretty, and it's ROAD stands for read, observe, apply, and discuss. And there's little sections in here for you to write it. So you're going to discuss the scriptures from that week that you've taken notes over, that you've read, anything that you put in there. And then after that, we'll have a short, just 15-minute teaching over those passages you just discussed. There's going to be a different teacher at 6 than there is at 9:15, and both of those audios will be emailed out. So if you want to listen to the other teacher, see a different perspective, or listen to a different perspective, you can listen to those through the email. So there'll be two teachers at the different classes. And the reason we discuss and then we teach is because I want you to discuss what God showed you. I want you to learn, how do we read the scriptures and let God speak to us? And if we taught first and then discussed, you would only discuss whatever the teacher said, right? Because that's just our tendency, instead of what God's showing you in the scriptures. And so I really want you to kind of struggle through that. Whether you get one day done or all 5 days done this week, I want you to come back and kind of listen to that discussion and participate in those discussions and kind of create meaning based on those discussions. 15-minute teaching, and we're going to end every week in 10 minutes. The last 10 minutes will be at your tables in prayer. Now, the cool thing about the discussion is you've already been listening to your women, what they read that week, what they observed, what they want to apply. You've already discussed all that. So when you go into prayer times as your tables, you already kind of know what you need to be praying, right? So if she's like, this week I need to apply this. This week God really showed me this. I know that I can, and we talked about that in discussion. I know that in prayer time, I can be praying that for her. In the past, we've broken into prayer partners. This time we're going to stay in our tables because we've discussed, you've heard the application. We're going to come in prayer. Now here's the thing. Like sometimes I think we believe this lie that prayer is like this really scary thing. And all prayer is doing is opening up your heart and talking to God, the God of the universe who loves you, who made you, who knows you intimately, who is proud of you, who delights in you, and he just wants you to talk to him. And so the prayer time is your chance to rally for your table in the presence of God, to intercede for your friends here and in the presence of God. Like, we're all struggling. Like, life is hard, especially in February in Iowa, right? It just can be overwhelming. And so we need to rally around each other. And so we want to give you the last 10 minutes of every time at your table to rally around the women at your table and be praying for them. And so I hope you'll take advantage of that. And then after that, your table leader dismisses you and you'll be done. So 1 hour in, we'll start right at 6. We'll end right at 7 so you can get to work. And that's what's going to kind of fill in that hour. This week looks a little bit different because I want to make sure we're all on the same page when we get started. So this week, like you won't hear, like this is the only week I'm teaching. So this week we're going to kind of model through the road together, so we'll make sure that we're all on the same page before you kind of go out. I don't want to just like send you out and be like, hey, have fun, enjoy it, right? Like, so we're going to practice together at our tables and going to kind of lead you through that, and then I'll tell you where to go from there, okay? So everybody needs your journal. Everybody needs something to write with. And then on your table as well is a printout of Psalms 1. And everybody needs a copy of Psalms 1. Okay, so everybody has your journal, everybody has a copy of Psalms 1, and something to write with. Okay, another thing, there's just one of these at your tables, but we have plenty back here at Info Central. This is called the guidebook. And this has everything I'm about to teach you is also in here. So if this is kind of new to you or you're a little intimidated, I would encourage you to grab one of these so you can kind of refer back to it this week. And they're free just back there on that table. Okay, the very first letter in road is R. And R stands for read. Now, when we read a text, so when we open up a text and we start reading a text, all that means is you're just going to kind of clarify and focus your mind and give you an overall picture of what you're reading, okay? You're not analyzing. You're not asking questions. You're not, like, digging in deep. You're just trying to get your mind focused. So what you do in read is you kind of read through the passage slowly, maybe. And then maybe certain words or phrases keep repeating or popping out to you, and maybe you want to just underline those as you're reading through. Maybe you read through two times. I don't know about you, sometimes, some passages, it's hard for my mind to remember. Like, I start reading, and then I finish, and I'm like, oh, like, I remember the first line, and then everything in there, my brain automatically read it, but my mind did not engage, and I don't remember it. So sometimes it takes me two or three readings. You do in the read passage. You just read through it slowly. You're not answering questions. You're not asking questions. You're just kind of noticing what the passage is about. If you underline what, and then you're going to put whatever you underline or noticed in right there on your journal underneath R. Okay? Now this, there's no wrong way to do this. Okay? Like, so those of you that maybe tend to be more of a perfectionist, you're going to be, what exactly needs to go in this space? Right? And I can't tell you what exactly needs to go in that space. Maybe nothing's going to go in that space, okay? Or maybe there's going to be a lot that goes in that space. That is between you and God. This space is just to help you keep focused as you read God's word. So yesterday I was reading Psalm 29, and it's like the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the voice of the Lord is over the cedars of Lebanon, the voice of the Lord. And I kept seeing the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord when I was reading through it. And so I just underlined voice because I'm like, man, it keeps repeating. Underlining voice when I was reading it, right? So that was. Then I took my journal, and in that section, the only word in underneath read was voice, because that's what stood out to me. I read it three or four, five different times, and it just kept, that repetition kept sticking out. So the only thing in that section was voice. Sometimes there's full sentences. Sometimes there's phrases. It doesn't really matter. But you're just going to read the passage. So right now, at your tables, and I know we're kind of really tight. Maybe next week we'll push the tables a little bit farther away so you're not on top of each other. But I want you to read out loud. Have someone read Psalms 1 out loud. And while you're reading, does anything stick out to you? Do you want to understand anything? Is there anything that you want that you kind of notice? Maybe you read it out loud once as a table and then the second time silently to yourself. I'm going to give you just like maybe 2 minutes to kind of read through Psalms 1 and see if there's anything you want to write in your journal for Psalms 1. All right, would anybody like to kind of share what they wrote? Anybody want to volunteer what they wrote? No? Okay.
I wrote, blessed delight meditates day and night.
Oh, blessed delight meditates day and night. I like that. Like, we have all these, right? Those are pretty distinct words that stood out to Mindy as she was reading through. And so she. Good. Anybody else want to share what they wrote down?
The wicked are not so.
The wicked are not so. That's great. So there's a phrase that stood out while you were reading. So you just wrote that in your journal. Awesome. Go ahead, Abby. Oh. So when you are noticing when you're reading righteous and wicked, okay? So we just put that in our journal. Good. So if you notice when we're reading, we're not really analyzing, not asking those questions. We're just kind of familiarizing ourselves with what the passage says. Then we jump into O. So that next section says observe. Now this obviously, honestly will probably take the longest time, the observe part. And it can take as long as you need it to or as short as you need it to, but the observe is kind of like the meat of your time in the word here. So observe is simply a little, it's kind of a little bit more like an English class to start out with. Like, think about analyzing a little bit. Think about asking the questions. You're gonna go back and reread it and go a bit deeper, okay? So ask those hard questions. What what is the righteous? Like, what does the righteous look like versus what does the wicked look like, right? What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be, I put in its season was one thing that I wrote in that stood out to me, in its season. I'm like, what is in its season? How does that apply to this? So you're asking those deeper questions. You want to notice the headings. Sometimes there's headings in your Bible, so notice those headings. Are there any cross references? Like, are there any little notes in your Bible that says this also talks about it in this verse, other places in the Bible? So should we go read other places in the Bible that uses those same words? Okay, so that's the first part. Before you jump in, that's the first part of observe, just the intellectual analyzation. You're using just your brain, okay? Like, what actually does this mean? Here's the second part that's very, very important, okay? Then you need to sit and be like, okay, God, based on what you've just shown me, what is it that you're wanting me to understand deeper? And that is something that the Holy Spirit does through his word in your heart. You can stay in that intellectual realm and be like, the verbs are this, and this is what, and this is the craft rusher, this is, but if you don't stop in your observation and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to know from this? Then you've kind of missed the meat of what observe is. Like, the first part is important, you need to understand, but the second part is just as important, being still for a minute and asking God to reveal himself to you. So let's go back to Psalms 29 that I was reading yesterday. I'm like, okay, Lord, like the voice. And so I start analyzing, I start figuring out what it means. I'm looking at cross references and I'm like, okay, God, why is it important that you pointed out how powerful your voice is? And he led me to just those first two verses in Psalms 30. And it's like, I will heal, like I cry out to God and he heals the brokenhearted. He will heal your soul. And it was like this. I had just read how powerful his voice was, and it's like, oh, but it can reach right into the depths of your soul. It's not just powerful overall creation. It reaches right into the depths of your soul and heals you. And it was like this. That's what God needed me to know, right? The analyzation was important to get my mind to understand it, but sitting with God and letting him reveal himself through Scripture was just as important. So I'm going to give you a little bit longer, but not too long, because we want to be out on time, to kind of look through, observe. Based on what you read, where maybe do you want to ask some questions? And maybe you won't find the answers today, and that's okay. But I'm going to give you some time just to practice observe. Good. So, like, just really jumping in, like, who actually gives the righteousness, right? Who actually, you're planted by God, right? And he's the one that washes over you and creates that righteousness in you. That's awesome. So a little bit deeper meaning in observation. So you're not just skimming through the passage and underlining and be like, yeah, but you're kind of trying to figure out what it actually means. And then make a note for yourself, someone, that you actually ask God why he pointed that stuff out to you. Okay, I don't want you to miss that part. That's kind of the life-changing part, and that's kind of the part that's going to help you go into the apply. Because the apply, what you simply do is you look over what you observed, kind of what you pulled out, what you feel like God was showing you, and you ask God, what do you need to do to let that change you? So sometimes it's just you need to believe a truth. Sometimes it's actually you need to change your behavior. Sometimes it's simply you need to ask for forgiveness for something. Now, here's the thing about apply. It needs to be specific, okay? So here's a bad example. I'm reading through this and I'm like, the wicked, the righteous, blah, blah, blah. Here's a bad example of my apply. Believers shouldn't walk and do everything that non-believers do. Okay? That sounds like a great application statement, except that's general for everybody else. That's like if I'm standing in front of a room and I'm going to teach like a statement, right? That doesn't apply to me personally. And so apply should apply to you personally. So here's a good example. God is telling me who to evaluate who I am emulating in life. Who do I walk next to most often? Who do I sit with most often? Who do I follow after most often? Do they chase after Christ and are pointing me to chase after Christ? Or are they pulling me in the wrong direction? Like, I need to evaluate that. That's specific for me. Or maybe it's, I need to ask forgiveness from God because I have not been a tree planted by water growing in his presence lately. I need to ask his forgiveness. Okay, so apply is simply specific for you based on what you observed. What do you think you need to apply? So I'll give you a couple minutes to kind of practice that. And now the last thing is D, which is discuss. Now discuss has two parts, and we're going to do it in two parts today. The first part of discuss is your relationship with God is actually a two-way relationship. And so far, he's done all of the talking to you through his word. And now it's time for you to talk back to him through prayer. And that's the first part of discussion. Is I want you to take a couple minutes. I want you to write out, just write in that D part, a prayer, your prayer to God. Maybe it's, Lord, I am sorry. Like, please forgive me for this, right? Or, Lord, will you help me? Will you enable me to do this today? Whatever it is that was, look at your observe, your apply. What did he show you this morning? And write out a short prayer to God. Right there in the discuss. Nobody's going to read it. You don't have to share it with anybody. It's just between you and God. Discuss with other people. Now, this is something that sometimes we get hesitant to do, but I want you to, like, one of my favorite verses to inspire me to do this is Revelation 12:11. And it says, they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, by Christ, and by the word of their testimony. The fact that God is alive and active and working in your life, he showed you things, you're understanding his scripture, that's your testimony to who God is. And that is an encouragement to those people around you. So I want you to take a couple minutes and discuss the process that you kind of did right now at your tables. This is also a time for you to ask questions, be like, that part didn't make sense. I don't really know. I was kind of uncomfortable during this part. A lot of you have two table leaders at your table on purpose to help you kind of walk through this. So take a few minutes and discuss. And that clock is fast if you're watching that clock. So look at your watch. Just by a few minutes, but I'm going to take every minute. Let's come back together. Hopefully, so first of all, you all just spent time in the Word on your own. And that's all that you're going to do for the next 5 weeks. There'll be 5 days of reading. I'm going to steal your bookmark again. So if you... Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. If you look at these bookmarks, which somebody's like, what happens if I lose it? Well, maybe take a picture of it right now. So there's on the front, you'll see February 6th through 12th. Well, that's the week coming up. So there's 5 days of passages. So you're going to read Matthew 5, 1 through 11, and do the road process over that. And then the next day, you're going to do Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and do the road process over that. And then the next day, you'll do, and so on and so forth, for 5 days. So there's 7 days until we meet again. So pick five of those that you're going to commit to being in God's Word. I'd encourage you to do it on 5 different days. Because, so we have, like, overall, for five, there's like 35 days. Right? And so what we're trying to do is build a habit in our lives of spending time in God's Word on our own on a consistent basis. So try to do these five passages on 5 different days so that we can keep building that habit. Okay? So you can check off if you like to, like, check off tasks when you finish. You can check off right there on that bookmark. Aaron's going to try to put it on the website maybe so that if you lose it, it can be accessed there. But if you notice, we do start in Matthew 5. So before we kind of leave today, I want to give you just a little bit of background so you know what you're about to study this week. Because Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, okay? So we have the Old Testament that starts with Genesis. If you were here last semester, we started in Genesis studied. So Genesis all the way through Malachi is the Old Testament. And this is before Jesus was born on earth and walked on earth, okay? That's Old Testament. And then Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. So Matthew's kind of like this gateway bridging the Old Testament to the New Testament. Because the Old Testament stops in Malachi, and then God is silent for 400 years. He's not absent, but he is silent. The whole Old Testament, we see him speak through prophecies and through kings. And then we see, then there's 400 years where God doesn't speak through anybody to his people. And so Matthew is written to this Jewish audience, the people of God from the Old Testament, and he is trying to show them, okay, God, the God of the Old Testament, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. So Matthew is just continually pulling people, like connecting that Old Testament. This is everything that God has shown you. It's all being fulfilled through Christ. So this prophecy, it's being fulfilled through Christ. This prophecy is being fulfilled through Christ. So Matthew is what we call the first book of the New Testament. It's a gospel. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four gospels. And those are the first four books of the New Testament because they talk about Jesus' life. The rest of the New Testament are like letters written, most of them are letters written to specific churches. Okay, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. And each of them are written from a different perspective. So we get like an entire view of who Christ was when he walked on the earth. You know, like if you've ever watched those crime shows, you always like, if the eyewitnesses events or if the eyewitness statements all match up, they're the exact same, what's the result? Someone's lying, right? Because no eyewitness example ever is exactly the same. Everybody sees things from different angles. And so that's what the Gospels are. They give us all of the different angles of Christ when he walked on earth. So we get to see his whole, the whole person, and not just one perspective. So Matthew is one of those Gospels, and he is writing for the perspective of, I'm writing to a Jewish audience, the people of God from the Old Testament, and I want them to understand that this Messiah that they've looked for, this king that they're looking for, he is Jesus. And so you're going to see Matthew talk a lot about kingdoms, a lot about the kingdoms, because in 2 Samuel, David, King David, who David and Goliath, you know, he grew up to be this powerful king, and David was promised that one of his descendants would be on the throne forever. And so Matthew's like, Jesus is that king. See, you guys thought it was a literal kingdom, you were going to be powerful. But the kingdom is not just a physical, earthly kingdom. It's forever. It's an eternal kingdom. And Jesus is that descendant of David. He is that king. You see this idea of expand your understanding of the kingdom of God. Like, even Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, he's like, pray that it'll happen on earth as it is in heaven. Like, as you follow God, as you learn to live in his presence, you get to bring his kingdom to earth. Like, his kingdom is not this abstract thing out there that you only get to experience in heaven. You can experience it on earth. So you're going to see that this week. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, right? Walk with Jesus the way he asks you to, and you get to experience his kingdom on earth. And so Matthew that's kind of his purpose, is to help the Jewish audience understand that Christ is the king, and his kingdom is available to them right now. They don't have to wait to conquer other people. They don't have to wait for this physical king to have power. Jesus is that. So Matthew, chapter 1, he starts with the genealogy in Matthew. And that we start with Abraham, and you guys remember, if you were here last semester, you remember Abraham was given this promise, and he got up, and he went, not knowing where he was going. Because he followed God, he believed, and his promise was, your descendants are going to be as many as the sands in this, right? Like, we memorized those verses last semester. And Abraham waited for God. Like, it wasn't probably easy, but he waited. We see this whole genealogy in chapter 1, from Abraham to David, and from David all the way to Jesus. So there's like 42-ish generations between Abraham and Jesus. And we see the lines come all the way down. So Jesus is a descendant of David. Jesus is the lamb that sacrifice that was promised to Abraham, okay? So Jesus is that, so we prove that. And then Jesus is born in chapter 2. Chapter 3, then we get to introduce to another character called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was actually a cousin of Jesus, born just a few months before Jesus. And John the Baptist's whole purpose was to say, prepare the way for the Lord. You have, for hundreds and thousands of years, you have thought of God in this one way. I want you to repent. And sometimes we think repent like, oh, I'm horrible, like fall on my knees in shame. That's not what he's saying. He's like, repent that there's these preconceived notions in your heart. Repent, open your heart, open your mind, or you're going to miss Jesus. Repent, prepare the way of your soul for Jesus, because he's about to come on the scene and you're going to miss him if you don't humble yourself and repent. And I think that's kind of where we probably need to start, is that we need to say, we all come in here with like these preconceived notions, right? We've either read the Bible a lot, or we've heard the stories a lot, or we kind of know how to be a Christian or a good person at least. We come to church. We have these preconceived notions. So I would encourage you, maybe even look at John the Baptist's words, like repent, prepare the way of your soul for Christ to speak to you these next 5 weeks. John's whole message was bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And honestly, guys, this is kind of where I start almost every day before I even jump in. Like, Lord, where am I believing false truths? Lord, will you open my eyes to where I need to confess? Because we are very not perfect, right? And most of the time we don't even know when we're sinning. We don't even know when we have preconceived notions. But the Holy Spirit can reveal that to you. And John the Baptist's message was extremely important before Jesus started his ministry. Prepare the way of your soul to hear from God. And that's what we want to do. And then we jump into chapter 5. And this is where we're going to start. And Jesus, chapter 5, verse 1 says, "And he went up on the mountain and he sat down and talked to him. Taught. And here's what's happening. There's tons of crowds following Jesus, saying, "Jesus is amazing. He's awesome. We love him." And he climbed up to the top of this mountain. And those who really wanted to follow him climbed up after him, his disciples. And they sat down, and this is the first thing that is first discourse. There's five in Matthew, but this is the first one that Jesus taught. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount, because it's a sermon on a mountain, right? Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus sat down with those who wanted to follow him and said, "Okay, here's what you need to do to follow me." And so this morning, that's kind of where we're going to end. And I'm going to pray over you. We've had time to discuss in tables. So we're not going to kind of do that today. We'll start that next week. But I'm going to pray over you. And that's where I want all of us to kind of walk away. Are we ready to prepare the way of our souls, right? Prepare the way of our souls for God to speak to us and to transform us and create new habits in his word. Prepare the way of our souls. And let's climb up the mountain and sit down with him and listen to him as he teaches us what does it look like to follow Christ. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you that it is alive and active. Thank you that you love us and that you're proud of us and that you delight in us even when we fail. Lord, we are completely dependent on you for these next 5 weeks to just create new habits, Lord, create the desire in us to be diligent, to give us the courage to show up even when we're not perfect. Lord, will you speak to us? Will you pull us up the side of the mountains when we're dragging and kicking, or we're tired, or we have a million excuses about why we shouldn't go up and sit at your feet? Lord, will you drag us up the side of the mountain? Will you speak to us, and will you help us through this process? We love you. In your name we pray.